All right, we are putting that series behind us. It is in the rearview mirror. That Chicago series never happened, as far as I'm concerned. It is time to move on. A road trip, Benjamin. The Jays are on to Milwaukee to face the Brew Crew.
Yeah, very exciting. Kind of their journey through the Midwest and maybe a couple more wins in store coming up this weekend.
We'll give you our Sunday, or I guess our Thursday scaries, our hype trains. We'll play a little He Was a Jay, and we will do your good old Friday roundup. It's all right here on Locked On Blue Jays.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Matt Bonaparte and Ben Shulman with you on Locked On Blue Jays. We thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And this episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Go ahead and get yourself some jewelry with Blue Nile. All right, Ben, let's start off by giving our Thursday scaries and our hype trains for this series. The Brewers are a team that, unlike any other successful team in the majors today, don't have hitting and only have one good starting pitcher. What is going on in the NL Central? What is happening?
To be fair, the Brewers lost their first place spot, like rightfully so. Good for the
Okay,
Cardinals.
But they're still good.
But yeah, the NL Central is the worst division in baseball. I mean, that's if you go look at it, like the Pirates are in third place and have held it down for a while. The Cubs are.
O'Neill Cruz is a god.
Yeah, I mean, he joined there one game ago, but sure. the Cubs are terrible, like one of the worst teams in baseball, and they're not even in last because the Cincinnati Reds barely qualify for the majors. So, yeah, it's an awful, awful division. But the Brew Crew, even with the extra wild card, can't bank on anything. They really need to win the division because with the way the NL West is, you're likely going to get three teams out of there with, you know, the Padres and the Giants, and then the Atlanta Braves are good and the Mets are good. So Brew Crew will have some pivotal series coming up before the midway point of the year. But yes, they have done it pretty much on the back of timely hitting and bullpen pitching for the most part.
And I don't really understand how these things work because the only player on their roster that has an OPS higher than 32 is their backup catcher. Like, what?
OPS higher than 800. He's at 32.
I said 32?
Yeah, he's played 32 games.
Wow, my brain's somewhere else. Yeah, he's played 32 games. He's the only guy with an I said 32. That's pretty funny. The only guy with an OPS higher than 800 has played 32 games, Victor Caratini. Which is like bonkers. But let's get into the Thursday scaries. I'm going to start out with mine. Did I pick the only really good player on the team? Yeah, I did. But does it take away anything from his scare factor? No, it doesn't. Corbin Burns is looking to eviscerate the Blue Jays when he gets a chance to play them. In his last start against St. Louis, seven innings, allowed only two hits. He walked two, but 10 strikeouts. The dude was immaculate. No earned in that game. No runs, for that matter. And his ERA is down to 2.31 on the season. He threw 108 pitches, which is a lot for a guy nowadays. But I don't know about you, Ben. I love when guys hit the 100 number now. It just reminds me of like what everybody used to do like 10 or so years ago. But he beat the Cardinals, a division rival, 2-0 on June 20th. The Jays are going to have their work cut out for him. If he ends up matching up against Yusei Kikuchi, which is what it looks like right now, that's a hard game to win.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Corbin Burns is the reigning Cy Young Award winner. And if you're someone, not saying we are, but if you're someone who's anti-Kikuchi in a way, it's going to be so hard to beat Corbin Burns that you may not hate that being the matchup and just kind of let your bigger hitters go up against guys
that's
that are
true.
Not Corbin Burns because Corbin is absolutely nasty. They do need to score runs, though, to win the game, which has been a problem for the Brewers this year. They have been not full Tiger level, but they have been a bad offense, as we kind of recounted already. One of the few good players on their offense is my Sunday scary. His name is Ryan John Tellez, a.k.a. former Blue Jay Rowdy Tellez, who in his first full season now with the Brew Crew is showing off why he probably should have been an everyday player, regardless of where he was playing. Rowdy has tapered off a little, but he's still got a very respectable 795 OPS in 66 games, 11 home runs, 40 RBIs, leads the team, one of the best in the National League by that measure. It's typical Rowdy stuff. He's hitting for a ton of power. He's got 27 extra base hits out of his 58 hits. He's striking out a lot. He doesn't walk very much. You wonder where the edge goes with some of these Blue Jay pitchers knowing Rowdy, but he only played 50 games for the Jays last year, and I feel like so much of the pitching is different that there's not actually that much familiarity. I don't think it should
matter at all.
Yeah, but this is his first game against the Blue Jays after starting his career with Toronto and playing over 200 games 4 years with the Blue Jays. So it'll be fun to see Rowdy back. And if he had a revenge series, I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good player. One that, like you said, like he really didn't get his respect that he deserved when he was with Toronto. I always felt like they called him up a little bit too late. I saw him in Syracuse a couple times when Buffalo was in town. I saw him and Vladdy, and like, he had tanks, dude. The guy could just mash. And I think he was in the minors a little bit too long.
He and Vladdy, yeah. Like if he had been brought up earlier, he could have played a couple of years. But Vladdy being a first baseman DH and him being a first baseman DH, it was kind of
totally. Vladdy played third, didn't he? Right at the beginning,
his first year.
So
and that's when Vladdy played more. And then when they switched Vladdy to first, Vladdy's job was kind of done.
So they move him on to the Brew Crew, and they got back in return Trevor Richards. Is that right?
Yeah.
Stuff. All right. Well, my Thursday scary is Lourdes Gurriel Jr.
Your brain's in the fog. You said your Thursday scary was Lourdes. I'm sorry to keep correcting you.
Yeah, it is my Thursday scary.
Lourdes is not your scary. He's your hype train. The scary is the other.
Oh, my gosh. My brain is on. What's going on?
I don't know. Crazy. We're getting a morning app on Thursday for a
yeah, that's probably what it is. I woke up like a good like 20 minutes ago. Okay. My hype train is Lourdes Gurriel Jr. I'm telling you, it's my hype train. He was slumping at the beginning of this month. I almost said semester. I'm going insane. Slumping at the beginning of this month, but now he's got his average up from like 240 up to 280. So you got to be happy about that. And in his last three games, five hits, one of which was a home run, that grand slam against the Yankees. He didn't play one of the games against Chicago or one of the games against the Yankees. So that's why it's his last three. But he's been very, very good. And a guy that you can kind of, when I see him in the lineup do up, I'm not like, I'm like, all right, you can get a hit. So Lourdes has been swinging the bat well. Another guy, and I talked about this yesterday in our pod, I talked about, I think about Vladdy. Lourdes Gurriel, another guy who's just a professional hitter. Like he hits the baseball for a living and you know it. So even when he's slumping, you know he's going to break out of that. He has good at bats. He doesn't look stupid many times at the plate. He's a good hitter. So I like Lourdes to make some business here in Milwaukee.
Probably top three, like most fun players for me to watch on the team.
He's fun.
Just a fun guy. When I was looking for my hype train, I was trying to find who potentially could be someone, because, you know, Blue Jays don't play Milwaukee all that often. Who could be someone who's had maybe good success against Milwaukee? And you look at the Blue Jays roster, it's even the guys that aren't Blue Jays, pretty much all American League guys. It's really hard to find anyone who has that much experience against the Brew Crew, except for Raimel Tapia, who obviously spent the first 5 years of his career in Colorado. Raimel, going to be the starting center fielder, it appears, for the three games in Milwaukee. And in 16 games in his career against the Brewers, he has an 892 OPS with two home runs and nine RBIs. That's his second highest career OPS against the team that he's had 50 plate appearances against. And the only team higher, Cincinnati, not a baseball team. We've already gone over that. Last year, Raimel was really good against the Brewers. Six starts against them, hits in every single one, three multi-hit games. So I feel like the comfortability playing the Brew Crew against, some of those were in Milwaukee, where he's going, obviously, this weekend. I could see Rymel being like, hey, guys, I'll show you how the National League works, and slap some hits around and remind the Brew Crew who Noodles is.
Here's the thing about Rymel. Whether he is or he isn't, he definitely thinks he's the coolest player on the team. And I respect that from him. When I saw him in Detroit, like, you definitely get the vibe with, like, he thinks he's the coolest guy on the planet Earth, which is, like, cool with me, because I think he's cool, too. So, yeah, I hope Rymel, he kind of goes like, hey, guys, you know, this is the National League. I used to play here, and he just mashes. All right, let's get a couple breaks from our sponsors here. First of which is Blue Nile. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as your partner with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, as well as setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft their perfect engagement ring. Each ring is one of a kind. You're looking for fine jewelry, but having trouble choosing? Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7. Some people say 25/8. Available via phone or chat to help you find a memorable gift at every budget. Make your moment sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Sports listeners get $50 off purchases of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive includes engagement. Use code Locked On. That's code Locked On. Plus, every order is insured, ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. And we have one more. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's NHL Stanley Cup Finals and Major League Baseball. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. Bet online, where the game starts.
He was a Blue Jay time on Locked On Blue Jays, your Friday episode with Matt Bonaparte. I'm Ben Shulman. If you have not seen He Was a Blue Jay before, it's the game where we pick a Blue Jay who you wouldn't necessarily remember was a Blue Jay, and we get five different hints about his career. Bone says three guesses or 30 seconds in between each to try and figure out who the Blue Jay was. The last guy was Jaime Garcia. Bones got him in three hints, I think, actually. I said Nico. Was it two?
Yeah, it was two.
So you didn't get the hint that the car – yeah, you're right. It was two. So it's your third career Nico. Congrats. It was – you did it on Nico. You did it on someone else. I'm trying to look. I'm trying to see. You're 21-5, by the way. Your other Nico, I think, was Canseco. No, you got Canseco on the third one. I don't know. But it was your third Nico. I remember you having another one. We're going back to a season two guy for this one.
Those are hard.
Season two is a tough season. You're still, let's see, I believe you're below 500 in season two. You're at 500. So you're trying to get above it. There are two season twos left. So if you lose this one, you can only get to 500. So this is a really big
one. It's a big, big one.
21-5 overall, but four of the losses coming off season two. Are you ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right. Hint number one. This outfielder debuted in the majors in 2001.
Not Dalton Pompey.
Not Dalton Pompey. In like 2015.
Yeah. 2001. This is going to be tough. Milton Bradley.
Not Milton Bradley.
Mike Cameron.
Not Mike Cameron.
Oh, it's a Mike, though. Got that. Because Ben went. Listen, you got to read as much as you can off of Ben's face every single time we play this game.
I'm not going to tell you how to play it. You're 21-5.
I'll also guess Michael Bourne.
Not Michael Bourne. We move on. Hit number two, within the first 5 years of his career, he had played in a World Series and another ALCS. So I wanted to say another to clarify, like, he had made an ALCS 1 year, and he had also made a World Series another year.
Okay. So within the first 5 years of his career. So 2001, he could have been a Yankee. 2002, he could have been an Angel. 2003, could have been a Yankee. 2004, could have been a Red Sox. 2005, could have been a White Sox.
I want to clarify.
Scott Podsednik.
No, but you've guessed him so many times. I want to clarify that I said made the World Series too, not won it. Well, you could be right. You did just name only teams that won the World Series.
No, I didn't name teams that won the World Series. I named the Yankees when they lost.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
That just that was those were just the ALCS. That
was the loser that you named, though, I believe.
Well, no, the Yankees in 2001. Hold on, my headphones just died. You got to give me a second.
Okay. For everyone at home, this outfielder debuted in the majors in 2001. And within the first 5 years of his career, he had played in a World Series and another ALCS. Bones is rejigging his thing. You can hear me? He cannot hear me yet. I kind of want to say the guy's name for everyone at home, but Bones is
not. I'm back.
That would be wild, though, if I gave the audience the name. And then
that would have been crazy. You should have done that. Okay. Where was my – I can't remember what my thought process was.
You guessed Scott Podsednik.
Okay, so he's a AL player from 2001 to 2005 or 6. So 2006 would have been the Tigers. I'm going to go – so you didn't say he came up with the Blue Jays. Maglio Ordóñez?
No.
This is tough. This is tough. One more guess in me. Shane Spencer. No, he came up in 98. Whatever.
Incorrect. Hint three. This guy was primarily an Angel.
Okay. Garrett Anderson?
No.
Who is in that outfield? Wasn't it Garrett Anderson and like two other guys? I don't know. Like Troy Gloss?
Not Troy Gloss. He was a Blue Jay, and that would be a good candidate for one because he only played 1 year with the Blue Jays and raked, but not Troy Gloss. That was an
Tim
awesome
Salmon?
Game. Not Tim Salmon. We move on. This guy, hint four, this guy played for every team Vernon Wells played for.
He's a Yankee. Now, when was he a Yankee, though? That's the question. I don't know. This is tough.
If you'd like me to run through the hints again, I can.
No, I don't need them. Came up in 2001. He played in a World Series and an ALCS in that time. He was on the Angels. He played for every... He was on the Angels and the Yankees. Okay. Thinks he's an outfielder. I hope I know who it is.
I think you absolutely know who this guy is, but it is kind of a tough one, and there aren't that many good hints about him, I will say.
Okay. All right, I don't know. You got to move on to the last hint.
Okay, so he was a Blue Jay in 2011. He was a Yankee from 2001 to 2003. He was an Angel in the middle.
God, 2011. Like, he's so old at that point, too.
Yeah, you definitely would remember him more from his Angel days than his OJ days. I can let you know.
Wait, that means he's a 2009 Angel.
He was a 2009 Angel.
I can name that team like the back of my hand.
Well, you only get three guesses.
Well, let me just think through the team out loud. This is not my guesses. Okay, so they have Kendrys Morales, they have Howie Kendrick, they have Eric Ibar, and they have Sean Figgins in the infield. The outfield was Vlad. I feel like Torrey Hunter was there. And maybe he wasn't. Oh, who played left field for the freaking Angels that year? Oh, this is going to piss me off. No, it's like the one guy I can't remember from that team.
This guy had a good year too.
I know who it is in my head. I know who it is in my head. I can't put my
he was a starting left fielder, and I mean, they that was a good hitting team. I'll give him credit. But he was like one of the better hitters on that team. He had a higher OPS than Vladimir Guerrero did that game.
God, no, I can't not get this.
So you definitely do know this guy. I'm glad you know the 2009 Angels.
Yeah, because Yankees beat him in the ALCS that year. Yeah. So I know them like the back of my hand. Oh, my gosh. Series. This is going to really, really make me upset. Could I buy like a letter here? I'll offer something.
Here, I'll give you one hint. I'll give you an outfielder. Maybe this will spark it. There was one outfielder that started because Vlad Guerrero was their DH. So in center, you're right. It was Torii Hunter. In right field, it was Bobby Abreu. This guy was in left field.
Oh, it was Bobby Abreu. That's right. I would have guessed Bobby Abreu.
I mean, Vlad had like a couple starts in right, but he was the DH because he was pretty old at that point.
I just remember who had the guy in left. Oh, it's, oh my God. I can see him and I can see his batting stance. He's Hispanic, right?
He's from Venezuela.
Oh, it's like Juan Gonzalez or something. What's his name? Something Lopez?
No.
Javi Lopez. That's who I was thinking of.
Not Javi Lopez.
Oh, I know it. I know it. No, wait. Oh, I know it. This sucks. I can see him. I can see him. Oh, my God.
What does he look like? Well, I don't know.
So he had a really low to the ground stance, and he had his bat always like waving, like it was almost Gary Sheffield like. What does he look like? I mean, like, I don't want to like
describe his face,
but God, he was a little. Oh, God. Was it Juan?
I don't know if I should tell you what a guy's first name was. Do you want? I can.
No. Oh my God, it's gonna really piss me off. I'm gonna be livid. I'm not gonna get it though. I can. This is the worst one we've ever had. Fred McGriff is almost as bad as this.
Fred McGriff's a way better player.
No, but I didn't ever have a chance at Fred. Because he just slipped my mind. This one, I know who it is, and I can see him.
He's so angry when I say his name.
I'm going to be pissed. What? Oh. It's not Juan, like, Lopez?
At some point, you have said his first name through this whole mess of a final guess.
Well, while you said Juan or Jose.
Before you either, like, guess or tap out, you also said Javi.
Not
Javi. I'll just run everyone through the hits again. This outfielder debuted in the majors in 01. Within the first 5 years of his career, he had played in a World Series and another ALCS. He was primarily an Angel, but he played for every team Vernon Wells played for, which is Blue Jays, Yankees, Angels. Blue Jay in 2011, Yankee from 01 to 03, Angel in the middle. This guy also ended up being a Dodger at one point.
I feel like his name is 100% Juan. Like, I'm booking it on Juan. I'm going to say, but also, like, I think I haven't, like, the only combination I haven't hit is Jose Lopez. I feel like that's definitely not his name. No. Those are the only names that are running in my head. It's like Lopez, Gomez, and then Juan Jose. Those are the only names that are in my head.
You're just like a guy on Sporkle guessing Smith and Johnson and Harrison.
Yeah, kind of. I'm going to say, I don't know his name. Is it Juan Gomez?
It is not Juan Gomez. Would you like to tap out?
Yeah, what is it?
It's Juan Rivera.
That's terrible.
That was the sound of for our audio listeners, a punch to the desk, like a full on just hammer slam down on the desk.
Dang it! That sucks. That sucks. I should get half a point. That's terrible. That's terrible.
No point awarded. Bones moves to 21-6, that's below .500 in season two. Juan Rivera was a Blue Jay in 2011, which I did not.
No chance I was ever hitting Rivera.
Juan Rivera was a Blue Jay for 7 years.
I knew it was Juan, dude.
But yes, 2009, he played against the Yankees in the ALCS, and he went 5-25. And he was a Yankee during the run to the 2003 World Series. He actually, although he was basically a rookie at that point, because he barely played in 01 and 02, he did play for you guys in the World Series. Kind of a fourth outfielder. So Juan Rivera's done. Bones looks super sad, and we've used up almost all the time we have for prospect roundup. For every one of our audio listeners, you're about to hear some advertisements right now. For everyone on video, it's the often imitated but never duplicated prospect roundup. Bones, take it away.
Hey, prospect roundup.
We got to go quick, which I guess matches your mood anyway.
Okay, prospect roundup time. This is week 7 or week 8?
Week 8.
Okay, I got to write down week 8. I have this week 7. Week 8. Okay, this week I've got three prospects, as has been. This is where we highlight three prospects in the Blue Jays farm system. My first one is Samad Taylor, a guy that we've talked about many times. Samad Taylor, the number 16 Blue Jays prospect in their system. He's a second baseman, third baseman, outfielder. He's only played left field this season. He's from the U.S., from Concord, California. Samad, in June, has had 5 multi-hit games, and over his last 2 games has hit 3 home runs. The impressive thing about him is his power numbers are up here, but he's also probably the fastest guy on the team, 23 stolen in, I believe he's a Buffalo Bison. I'm sorry, I didn't write that part down, and I should have. But he's been very good this season. He's a Buffalo Bison. In May, he was high average, high on-base percentage. Here in June, his average and on-base percentage are down, but his slugging is up nearly 50 points. So I'm happy with Samad Taylor. Obviously, he's not MLB ready or close to it, but he's feeling everything out, and he's able to be both a high average guy and a high power guy. He just can't put them together yet. So Samad Taylor, the first one I highlight today.
Very nice. Samad Taylor, your first. My first, a top 30 guy. I've tried to avoid him for many weeks, but I just cannot. The number 4 prospect in the Blue Jays system, Ricky Tiedemann. First of all, Bones, what do you think Ricky Tiedemann's legal name is?
I think we did this once.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's like Leo it's like, or something? It's
Tarek.
Yeah, Tarek, yeah.
R-I-Q. Lenny yeah. Tiedemann. Tarek Lenny Tiedemann. Yeah, we did do this because if he was Lenny Tiedemann, he'd be like my favorite person ever. I've tried to avoid him, but he's pitching so well, like we have to keep bringing him up. So Ricky's made 5 starts now since being bumped up to high A, and midseason is when a lot of guys get moved up again or moved up for the first time. I think he needs to get moved up again. Ricky in 5 starts has an 0.38 ERA. He's allowed 1 earned run in 23 2/3 innings at the high A level. He's working on a 13 1/3 innings pitch scoreless streak right now, and that was an unearned run off an error committed by one of his infielders. It's really 22 innings pitched without an earned run allowed. His most recent start come in, I believe on the 17th it was, 4 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, 7 Ks, easy. His strikeout to walk ratio is 35-5 in his near 24 innings at high A. He is a higher class than Leffel. And if he doesn't make it to double A at some point this year, I'd be shocked. Despite the fact, I'll do a little Bones bio, that he's a 19-year-old out of Long Beach, California, who was drafted in the 3rd round in 2021 out of JUCO, which happens in the majors. Good guys come out of JUCO, but still pretty crazy. This is his first year in the minors. He did not pitch in the minors last year, and he should really be in double A.
Yeah, he should be. Absolutely. I mean, this guy has outgrown single A more than anybody else has, maybe ever. I'm on to Hayden Junger now, another pitcher. He's a U.S.-born number 26 prospect in the Jays system. Over his last 6 appearances, 5 of which are starts, he's only allowed 4 earned runs, and in 17 innings pitched has 19 strikeouts. Batting average against is 1.38, and the opposing OPS is 5.41. Also in that time, only 8 hits allowed. The sad part is he doesn't have a win yet this season, but head up, King. It doesn't matter. It's a stupid stat. Hayden Junger, a guy that I think is flying under the radar a little bit. He's given up a little bit runs early in the season, 15 appearances, a 3.61 ERA. Nothing terrible, but he's 21. He's got some time to improve here, but I think he's going to be a solid pitcher one day, maybe a little bit down the line. But this is a guy who is a dog, and you kind of seen him struggle in the beginning and kind of hone it in and work on the craft. And now he's at a point where he's pitching really strong, even if it's only 3 or 4 inning outings.
The Blue Jays want that. He's a top 30 guy, 26 on their top 30. So they need him to be solid. Another guy who maybe they're taking a look at off the top 30 is my guy, Addison Barger. Barger is a shortstop right now at High A Vancouver, and he's playing pretty close to home because he's a he was born – well, kind of close to home. He was born in Bellevue, Washington, which is right near Seattle. 2018 sixth-round pick out of King High School, kind of cool, in Tampa, Florida. So he's really a Florida guy, but he was born in Washington. He put together a really solid year last year at rookie ball, 803 OPS. Came back this year and has just been even better at the high A level. Right now, he's got an 884 OPS with 12 homers and 45 RBIs in 58 games. And he's getting hotter and hotter. Nine-game hit streak has boosted his average from 279 to 295. And over those 9 games, has 3 doubles. 2 homers and 7 RBIs. I'd like to see a midseason call up for my guy Addison, because if he can really pick it up short — I haven't seen the game tape, so I'm not going to make any claims about his defense, I don't know — but if he can really pick it at short and he can hit like that, he's definitely a guy that the Blue Jays would be interested in the future.
Totally. I think you're absolutely right. On to my final one. It is Damiano Bellagiani. He's not Italian.
He's actually not. Yeah, he's not Italian, which is like the best thing. Like, not that I didn't want him to be Italian, but he sounds very Italian.
I wish he was Italian, but I'm happy with him being Venezuelan as well. Damiano had his high A debut not too long ago. And in it, a home run, a double, and a walk. The guy just mashed right out the gate. One game, and he's got like a 2,000 OPS in that game. I mean, obviously, it's not going to continue, but the man mashed in his debut, and that's really all you can ask from a guy who's trying to move up the ranks. He just got up from Dunedin, a 22-year-old, and in Dunedin, 11 home runs with an 859 OPS. The average wasn't that high, but it's 2022. Who cares? This is a guy who just drives in runs and walks, and that's kind of his job. He had 23 walks, 50 hits in Dunedin, 37 RBI. This is a guy to keep your eye on. 22, again, he's got time to develop. Could be a trade piece that we see, but also could be a guy that comes up and is a solid bench bat in the next couple of seasons. So I'm happy that Damiano came up and made an immediate impact for Dunedin.
Yeah, nice to see guys.
Or for Vancouver.
Yeah, it's nice to see guys. You know, when you make the jump, it can be difficult sometimes to adjust, but a good confidence boost to get that first game out of the way. This is going to be another small sample size guy, but it's going to be a prospect roundup first, which we don't have that often anymore because we each have to pick 3 guys, 8 weeks, not first in terms of his first mention. First time we're talking about this level, the Florida Complex League at rookie ball started pretty recently, and I was like, hey, let's get some rookie ball guys in. Why not? I know that they're not exactly top of the line in terms of how much attention people are paying to them right now, but you never No. Plus, I got a Canadian from Lévis, Quebec. It's J.C. Masson. What do you think J.C. stands for, Bones?
He's French?
Yeah.
I think it's Jacques Cousteau.
No, it's Jean-Christophe.
Oh, I was so close.
You were pretty close. Well, Cousteau, not really, but yeah.
I wasn't close.
Jean-Christophe Masson, who is an outfielder, throws right, hits left. 6'3", 193, 19-year-old out of Cardinal Roy Secondary School. I'm going to guess Cardinal Roy. Has played 8 games, and in those 8 games, again, it's only 8 games, he's absolutely mashed. He's got 10 hits in 18 at-bats for a .556 average. Already has 2 triples and 1 double in his first 8 games, 4 RBIs, and maybe the thing that you could actually project out for the longest – the reason he only has 18 at-bats in 8 games, he's already walked 7 times this year in 27 plate appearances to 3 strikeouts. So he seems like a guy that's got a good idea of what he wants to do at the plate, smart approach. He was a 26th rounder, but the Blue Jays are always looking out for their Canadian guys who they know have a higher chance of signing with the team long-term than some of the American guys who want to return home. So Potentially a guy to look out for. 23 career games, all at the rookie ball level. 23 hits. And that's wow. what we like to see. But yeah, that's my third guy.
Well, that does it. We are 35 minutes into this podcast, so we would like to say thank you for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen today. We appreciate the love we're getting on YouTube right now. We're up to 80 subscribers. We'd like to hit 100 soon if we could, so continue the surge over there. Also, I want to keep plugging our email, LockedOnBlueJaysReal, that's R-E-A-L, at gmail.com. We'd like to hear any comments, questions, suggestions you might have for the podcast. We take everything you guys have into consideration. We'd really appreciate it. So thanks for listening, and Ben and I will see you on Monday. Peace.